Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and the chapter 57. This evening, at the close of our gospel service, as I announced this morning, I want to preach on the subject of eternity. And I want to base my remarks on Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. A phrase out of this text. But we'll read all the verse. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word that we have before us tonight. And O God, I pray now as we would turn to the sacred page that you would come, Lord, and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. I would cry, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord, how we thank thee for thy grace and for thy mercy that we're found in God's house tonight. And I pray, Lord, this evening for those in this service who are not saved, Lord, that you would save them even tonight. Reveal unto them their great need of God's eternal redemption. I pray, Lord, as we deal with this subject, that you would come, Lord, and touch our lips with a live coal from off the altar. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. O God, defeat the devil, shut out the world. We pray that the hush of eternity would fall upon our gathering tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Eternity is unending. Eternity is timeless. Eternity is infinite. Eternity, like God, had no beginning and has no ending. Time had a beginning and time has an ending. The beginning of this world was the beginning of time as we know it. When this world ends, time will end. However, although someday time as we know it will end, existence in eternity will continue. There is no such thing as annihilation. There's no such thing as the end of existence. Neither God nor man will ever be extinct. My friend, I wonder, as you're gathered in this gospel service tonight, have you ever thought about the meaning of eternity and what eternity is all about? Many today believe that someday death will come to each and every one of us and we will stop existing. That will be the end of mankind. That will be the end of you and that will be the end of me when our bodies are put into Mother Earth. We stop existing. And yet, when we turn to the Word of God, we learn very simply and very clearly that is not the case. Although time, as we know it someday, will come to an end, and we found that out last Sunday evening, after time, there is eternity. Eternity. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I want you to think about that. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? Where will you be after you take your last breath upon this scene of time? Men and women, there is eternity. As we come to deal with the subject tonight, I want to deal with it very simply, but I do pray that the Lord will speak to your heart, especially if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian. I want you to listen very carefully to God's precious word, because I believe that the Lord has a definite message for your heart tonight. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the message this evening and apply it personally to your heart and to your soul. First of all, I want you to consider the reality of eternity. As we have said, man has always sought to prove that there is no existence after death. The reason why sinful man has sought to disprove life beyond the grave is because he does not want to have to think about meeting God in his sins. You see, if there is no existence beyond this world, then there's no God. And if there's no God, then there's no punishment for sin. And therefore, man does not have to worry about eternity and the consequences of dying in his sin. If you're here tonight and you don't believe that there's life beyond the grave, then your attitude is, why worry? Why be concerned? Because if there's no life after death, if there's no eternity, if God does not exist, then when we die, that's the end. And of course, if that were true, then we would not need to worry if death was the end. But the truth is this, that when we turn to the Word of God, the Bible very clearly and very dogmatically teaches us that there is life beyond the grave, that there is existence beyond our death. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that there is an eternity and that God exists and has always existed in eternity. Men and women, the truth of the matter is this: you and I will stand before God in judgment in the great eternity. Now, that's a solemn thought, but that is the truth that the Bible teaches. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20 just for a moment and look with me at verse 11. And if you're not saved, then read the words very carefully. Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. Underline these words: from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, I want you to underline the phrase, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. In other words, time is no more. The world has ended. The earth and the heaven, or the earth and the sky and the universe, have been destroyed. However, although time has ended, and the world and the planets, along with the sun and the moon and the stars, have all ceased to function, man has not stopped existing. That's what this portion of Scripture in Revelation 20 is teaching us. Because in this portion of Scripture, we read about the final judgment. And of course, this final judgment will take place when time, as we know it, is no more. So when you read Revelation chapter 20, you're actually reading what is going to take place in eternity. Eternity. Men and women, there is an eternity. God does exist. He always has existed. And he always will exist. There always has been an eternity. I can't explain that. But I preach it because the Bible declares it. And I believe it because the Bible declares it. And what I want to impress upon your heart tonight, if you're found in this gospel meeting, is this: that someday, when this world has ceased functioning, you will still be in existence. Because death is not the end. And even when this world ends, as the Bible tells us that it will end, you will still be very much alive in eternity. The word eternity means duration. It means continuity. In other words, it will never stop. It will continue forever and forever and forever. That's what the word literally means. The Bible teaches that God is eternal, infinite, and unchangeable. Look at our text in Isaiah 57 verse 15. It says, He inhabiteth eternity. In other words, God's eternal existence. That's what the text there is teaching. And this eternal God has stated clearly that man, you and I, will exist in the world to come. There is a world to come. And my friend, you will be there in that world to come. And I will be there in that world to come. And every living soul, every person that has ever lived from Adam until Jesus Christ comes back again will be in that eternity. So don't let anyone tell you that death is the end. And don't let anyone tell you there's not an eternity. And don't let anyone tell you that there's not a God. And don't let anyone tell you that someday you're going to stop existing. Because my friend, it's not going to happen. As far as the Word of God is concerned, and as far as the teaching of the Scriptures are concerned. Now, there's something else I want to say about eternity. Not only the reality of eternity, yes, a fact, but I want you to notice, secondly, man's destiny in eternity. If man is going to exist in eternity, where will he exist? Surely that is the question that we need answered. Job asked this question. In Job 14 verse 10, we read, But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? What a question. And I know that there are many in this world tonight, and they're asking the very same question. In other words, when you die, where are you? When you and I die, where will we be? Where will we be in eternity? We could also ask the question, when this world has stopped existing, where is man? All those who have lived upon this earth from the beginning of the creation until the time, the end of time, where are they now? My friend, the answer to all these questions is found in the Holy Scriptures. And that's why the Bible is so valuable. That's why the Word of God is so important. And that's why you should take the time to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God. The Bible is not an out-of-date book. And yet so few take up the Bible and read it for themselves. When I was at the demonstration yesterday in Irvinstown, watching the Orange Men and the bands and the tens of thousands of people watching the procession, my first thought was this: how many here today have taken the time to read the Bible? How many here today have taken the time to study the Bible? How many out of these tens of thousands of people in Irvinstown believe the Bible? We're living in a day when man does not read his Bible. And we're living in a day when Protestants don't read their Bible. And we're living in a day even when many Christians who are born again will not take the time to read their Bible. But the Bible has the answer. The Word of God reveals unto us where you and I will be in the great eternity. You see, the Bible teaches that there are two destinies in eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. The Bible and the Bible alone reveals unto man two destinies. You know, during the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, only spoke about heaven and hell. Turn over just for a moment to Matthew chapter 7. It's a familiar text, but if you're not saved, it's important that you look at the text. It's verses 13 and 14. And here we have the Lord Jesus speaking. And this is what the Lord Jesus says. Enter ye in at the straight gate, verse 13 of Matthew 7. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Only two ways are spoken of here by Christ. The broad way and the narrow way. The broad way leads to destruction, the narrow way leads to life. The broad way is speaking about ending up in hell. The narrow way is speaking about ending up in heaven. Take a look at Matthew 11. In verse 23, you'll read these words. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. Again, the Lord Jesus is speaking about two destinies in eternity. The Lord Jesus says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven..." So he draws our attention there to heaven, "shall be brought down to hell." And then he draws our attention to hell. Again, you can see here in this text that the Savior only refers to two places in eternity, heaven or hell. Matthew 8 verse 11. Let me read it. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." In that portion of Scripture, the Lord Jesus specifically is speaking about heaven. And then in Matthew 23, verse 33, he specifically speaks about hell. He says to the Pharisees and to the scribes who had rejected him, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Now, I challenge you. Read the Scriptures. Study the earthly life of Christ, and you will only find the Scriptures and the Lord Jesus teaching two destinies in eternity. Heaven or hell. We read two tremendous portions of Scripture tonight. We're not going to read them again. Revelation 21 describes heaven. Luke chapter 16 describes hell. And over again in the Bible, over and over again in the Scriptures of truth, these two destinies are set forward clearly for each and every one of us to see. My friend, here's the question. Where will you spend eternity? When you die, where will your soul be? When this world comes to an end, where will you be in eternity? If there's only two places in eternity, and God in his word says that there are only two places, heaven or hell, then you and I will be in one of these two places. Now that's the truth, that's the fact of the matter. You see, the Bible teaches us clearly that all mankind will be either in God's heaven or God's hell. As you sit in this church tonight under the sound of the gospel, if you were to die right now, where would your soul be? In eternity. Which destiny are you heading towards? Now, that's a very solemn question. And that's a question that you need to think about, and that you need to think about seriously. You say to me, "But Mr. Gray, I have plenty of time to think about these questions. I believe that the Bible is the word of God," you would say to me. "I believe that there's a God, and I believe that there's an eternity, and I even believe that there's only a heaven and a hell. But I don't want to think about where I'm going to spend eternity just now. After all, I'm only young. I have many years left to live upon this scene of time." Well, that may be true. That may be true. You may have many years left to live upon this scene of time. But on the other hand, you may not have many years left. Because we don't know what a day may bring forth. As we noticed last Lord's Day, we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. For we know not what a day may bring forth. Do you believe that there's a God? Do you believe that there's an eternity? Do you believe that there's only two destinies, heaven or hell? Well, at this present moment in your life, if you died now, which one of those two destinies would you be heading towards? Come on, be honest with yourself. Be honest. I'm not asking you to shout the answer out. I'm not asking you to say, well, Mr. Gray, I'll be in such and such a place or in such and such a place. Just answer it honestly within your own heart. Now, if the answer is hell, in other words, if you admit tonight that if you died right now, you'd be in hell, does that not concern you? Have you no concern about that? Would not make you afraid? Oh, I pray this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, would deal with your heart. Men and women, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? The greatest blessing in life is to know that you are on your way to heaven. The greatest blessing in life is to know that you're ready for glory. And you know, you can be sure of heaven before you die. Indeed, the truth of the matter is this, that you must be sure of heaven before you die. And you can have the assurance that even now, as you sit in this gospel meeting, that you're on your way to heaven. You see, as I stand in this pulpit tonight, I know that I'm going to heaven. It's not because there's anything good in me. I'm not being arrogant when I say that. I say that on the authority of the Bible. You see, the same Bible that tells me that there's a God, and the same Bible that tells me that there's an eternity, and the same Bible that tells me that there's only two destinies in eternity, heaven or hell, this same Bible tells me how I can be sure of getting into heaven when I die. And that's the third thing I want to say about eternity. Not only the reality of eternity, not only the two destinies in eternity, heaven or hell, but I want you to notice, thirdly, God's remedy for eternity. Again, the Holy Scriptures reveal to sinful man God's remedy for eternity. You see, God devised a plan whereby sinful man could escape the punishment of hell and obtain the glory of heaven. What was that plan? What is that plan? Well, it's the plan of the cross. The plan of the cross. Turn over just for a moment to Galatians 4. I want you to underline some verses in Galatians chapter 4, because in this portion of Scripture, we have God's plan of redemption. In other words, this portion of Scripture reveals unto us how you and I can make sure that we're going to heaven. What do we learn here about God's plan of redemption? Well, we learn, first of all, that it was a God-ordained plan. It was God's plan. It wasn't man's plan. Look at verse 4 of Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth. Underline those words. God sent forth. From the beginning, the work of redemption was the divine plan of God. In eternity past, the triune God authorized and planned man's salvation. In Acts 2, verse 22 and 23, it reads, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Underline the words. Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That just simply means that the plan of redemption was the plan of God. In other words, God sent his Son to die upon a cross, and there upon Calvary, he shed his precious blood in order to provide eternal redemption for you and me, so that we could be saved. Therefore, when we die and go out into eternity, we go to heaven. You see, if you look there again at verse 4, you will see that this plan was a Christ-centered plan. It's surrounded around the Lord Jesus, because the text says that God sent forth his Son
You see, when God in eternity past planned man's redemption, that plan was completely and entirely around the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why was this? The answer is simple, because Christ was the only one who could pay the price for man's sin. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you take a look at verse 4 again, you will see that it was a soul-saving plan. The reason why God sent his Son to die on the cross was in order to save you and me so that we could get into heaven. Look what it says. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, verse 6, God hath sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Look at verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The word redeem in verse 5 means to buy back. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he plunged the whole world into sin. In Romans 5 verse 12 it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore God's plan in sending his only begotten Son was to make an atonement for sinners, whereby they could be redeemed or bought back from the slave market of sin, thus bringing them into the family of God. You see, the plan of God, the plan of the cross, is God's plan to save souls from hell and judgment, and to provide a home in heaven for them. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my friend, you know the story of the cross only so well, because you've heard it preached many, many times. Did you ever consider the importance of the cross? Without the cross, there would be no heaven for any of us. Without the work of redemption, Christ dying upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, we would all be lost in eternity. All be lost in eternity. But thank God, God devised a plan whereby he would show his mercy and his grace and his love towards sinners. And because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, when eternity comes, the sinner, if the sinner accepts Christ as Savior and Lord, can go to heaven. And that's why I know that if I was to die in this pulpit right now, I would go to heaven. Oh, my body would be put into the grave, but my soul would go to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, the assurance that the Lord has given to me through his word, and the assurance that the Lord has given so many others in this meeting through his word, he will give you also. He will give you also. You say to me, well, preacher, what have I to do in order to have this assurance? What have I to do in order to make sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven? My friend, you don't have to do anything. The work is done. Apart from confessing that you're the sinner, and by faith believing on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've just got to accept what he has done for you, that he took your place. Now, in order to do that, you've got to confess that you're the sinner. You've got to say, well, I'm the sinner. You must be the sinner if Jesus died for sinners. And before that sacrifice can mean anything to you, you've got to put yourself in the sinner's place and thank the Lord for dying for you. And then you've got to cry unto him for mercy and in repentance and ask him to forgive you for your sin and to save you. And he'll do it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's remedy for eternity is the cross work of Christ. It is redemption through the blood of the Lamb. But thank God, eternity in heaven is reserved for all those who are saved and redeemed by that precious blood. Listen to this lovely hymn. I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. Long my heart has sighed for thee. Long has evil reigned within. Jesus sweetly speaks to me. I will cleanse you from all sin. I am trusting, Lord, in thee. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus. Save me now. Oh, I wonder, is there someone in this meeting? And the meeting is over. And over these past days and weeks and months, maybe even years, the Lord has been speaking to you. But especially over these past days, and you realize that you have broken God's law and trampled under His commandments, you realize that you're the sinner. You realize you're not ready for eternity. And if you were to die right now, you would end up in a lost eternity, in hell. Well, my friend, this is the good news of the gospel. Jesus died for sinners. And Jesus died for rebels. And Jesus died for you and me. But you've got to accept that. You've got to believe on Him. You've got to receive Him. For as many have received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you make preparation tonight? Would you seek the Lord this evening? Would you turn to Him and He'll save you, give you everlasting life, redeem you, and make you ready for heaven. Eternity. What are you trusting in to save you for eternity? Sad to say, many today are trusting in their good works. And they're trusting in their church. And they're trusting in their sacraments. But my friend, it's only the blood of Christ. It's only the sacrifice of Calvary. It's only the finished work tonight that can save you and me and make us ready for heaven. Would you come and put your trust in Christ tonight, and He will save you. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for all Thy mercies to us. We thank Thee for the plan of the cross. We thank Thee for the plan of redemption. O God, I pray this evening for those in this meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even, Lord, tonight, that they would turn and put their trust in Thee. O God, I pray that the issues of eternity would grip their heart and soul. Eternity. Oh, eternity. Where will we spend eternity? Time, Lord, life upon this earth is but a season, but a blink. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But eternity is an unending duration. It will never end. Oh God, to be lost in hell for all eternity. To go out into the blackness of the darkness forever. Never to see the light, but to keep on falling in the darkness of hell forever and forever and forever. Oh God, I pray that no one in Bethel tonight, no one in this congregation will ever experience that awful fate. But oh God, that everyone here tonight will be wise and seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.